candy's the devil. Like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Barf!
Not in here. This is a Mercedes.
Not in here, mister. This is a Mercedes.
The brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Call me.
God damn it. The brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. Third time. You can't mess it up.
But I'm Dave. Gus here.
Gus, the brother of the brother of the brother, sir.
With honors. I haven't made that joke since the first episode. No.
We are the Brothers Movie Factory. We are a podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies. Would you say we are?
If anything, I would say we're the movies.
Okay. I was about to be like, why do I always pass things to you? Because I never get the right answer.
Would you say we are?
On this podcast here, we take a movie, we view that movie, we talk about it afterwards, we then submit that movie to the Movie Factory. This is where we take the bulk of our show. We take that movie, change the director, change the composer, change the main characters, the actors and actresses that play them, and then after that, factory shit, we get into some games and close out the show. That sound good to everyone at home? Everybody got that? That's two Spaceballs references in one episode.
How many more can we squeeze in?
Probably only more. A few more.
How many Spaceball references? How many Daybreaker call-outs? How many Jimmy Stewart impressions?
And
can
at
we
least
have?
One Tobey Maguire That's reference. One. Oh, there oh, he
there's
is.
Your
there's
one.
Tobey Maguire.
There's your one.
All right. Well,
brothers.
Well, it is a special week here because we're recording this show a little early because there's a certain holiday coming up, everyone's favorite day of the year to eat and be merry. What day is that?
It's not Boxing Day yet.
What?
Who?
Yeah, so I'm wondering. Boxing
Day. I don't know. You're like, it's everyone's favorite day to eat. I don't know.
Boxing Day.
I was just being a tit.
Yeah, you're still being one. I don't know. All right, Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I probably peaked the hell out of that
you
mic
did.
There. But
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving coming up here in just a few days. So we were like, oh, let's. It was your pick, but you were like, oh, let's watch a Thanksgiving film for this one. And wouldn't you know it, there's really not a lot of Thanksgiving films.
There's like two.
There's two.
Two good ones.
Two! And you know, the one I usually think of, I consider a Thanksgiving movie is, I've told you this before, The Nightmare Before Christmas, because it falls between Halloween and Christmas. People always say, is it a Halloween movie? Is it a Christmas movie? I think it's
You're
maybe,
like, why not the both?
Maybe both. Both happening at the same
and
time.
And when you mix Christmas and Halloween, you get Thanksgiving, obviously.
Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah. There's still pumpkins and shit, but people also have them Christmas decorations out.
You know, I'm a sucker. I like to watch movies around the holidays. Mm. Is there any other particular Thanksgiving-esque movies you like to watch? Or maybe movies you like to watch around this time of the year?
Usually around this time of the year is when I start getting into my Star Wars binge. Like, we're going into December. I don't know if it's just the fact that there's nothing really to do outside yet and it's cold, or if that's when the movies have recently been coming out and I've been watching them at that point in time. But usually around this time of the year, I usually start into a Star Wars binge.
I see.
Around this point in time. Definitely looking into that. What about you, Thanksgiving time area?
Yeah, this fall time. I like to watch, I do similar to you, only with Harry Potter. I start the Harry Potter marathon.
Do you consider those Christmas movies? Some do. Like Freeform on TV, they're like, it's like 2 weeks before Christmas, like Harry Potter marathon. I'm like, there's like four scenes in those movies.
I mean, I like to watch the first one around Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Happy Christmas, Gus.
Happy Christmas, Ben.
Oh.
I like to watch.
Try not to cry. Audience at home.
I like to watch Godzilla year round.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Not one.
No, one I like to watch around Thanksgiving. We already watched it earlier this year, so I've been ruined, but I like to watch Spider-Man.
No, it Spider-Man. Does have a Thanksgiving scene.
Thanksgiving dinner scene. I'm like,
is that one of the two Thanksgiving movies?
Yeah. Now, the other one would be that Charlie Brown Thanksgiving action. But we watched the greatest film. Thanksgiving film of all time.
It just might be.
It is.
It is, okay. This is the first time I ever saw this movie. What was it? It was your pick this week.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and That.
And That. Because it's a Pittsburgh film. Not really. It's a Chicago film.
So, yes, this is your first viewing of this John Hughes classic. Some even say it's one of the greatest comedy films ever made.
And it's John Hughes starring John Candy. The late, great John Candy.
Yes, and Steve Martin.
Yeah, better known for his role as Inspector Jacques Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies.
Hey, how about?
Yeah, that's the only other thing he did other than this movie. Don't Google it. Don't look it up on Wikipedia. Steve Martin has done nothing else. Just, I almost said Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's had sex with Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's all. That's it. What about the Three Amigos?
No, just the Pink Panther. Never heard of anything else. He wasn't the father of the bride. He wasn't in Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors. Just the Pink Panther and this. Right. Anyways, what's this movie about? What are we looking at? John Hughes film. What exactly does that entail?
What are some tropes? I would say his biggest trope is coziness. I feel nice and warm.
You got to bundle up with a coat, even if you're in a 70-degree theater, you're going to watch this film.
You're going to get that. You're going to get some good humor. You're going to maybe get some life lessons along the way. And he's the king of the coming-of-age film, but maybe this is a coming-of-age film for adults.
What other films did he make?
Well, he wrote, produced, directed a slew of films. Some of his works include Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
So he's Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Oh, that was Chris Columbus.
He directed it. Okay. But John Hughes wrote it and produced it. Weird Science.
Val Kilmer.
No, Weird Science. Oh shit! I can't think of who's in Weird Science. Oh, help me!
What other ones?
Help me! Kill me now! Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's the other.
So he is the king of growing up films.
Yeah,
those
kind of films. So it and it surprised me that you haven't seen pretty much all of those except for maybe Home Alone. Maybe
Family Guy's taught me everything I need to know.
Maybe Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You've seen the only person I know you're looking up some Weird Science stuff. The only person I can think of who's in Weird Science is Robert Downey Jr. A young Robert Downey Jr.
Ian.
Yeah.
You also have Bill Paxton.
Yeah, I knew he's in that too.
And Ilan Mitchell Smith.
Sure.
I think it's Ilan. Kelly LeBrook. Anthony Michael Hall. Susan Schneider. A lot of other people. But yeah, I would say Robert Downey Jr. and Bill Paxton, biggest in those.
There were some assholes in that movie. But we're talking about some assholes in this movie.
One in particular. And who might that be?
The guy who ran the hotel. Now
all of them, everyone. Yes. In this film.
So this film, this cozy John Hughes film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and that. We got our Steve Martin. He's working in New York, and he's trying to make it home to Chicago to his family, to his wife and his children for Thanksgiving.
Which is honestly, I was thinking right off the bat, that's kind of a fresh take because there are a lot of movies like I gotta get home for Christmas or I gotta get home for my wife's giving birth. I gotta get home because my kids are like, I have a play that I need to meet or a show that I need to go to with my kids or something like that. There's all these other tropes that are similar to this, but this is Thanksgiving. And like we said, there's not really another Thanksgiving film like this.
No, and you know, we might get a little deeper into this if we remember, but you know, Thanksgiving, what's that holiday all about? Being
thankful.
Being thankful.
If we remember, what's Thanksgiving about?
No.
Hating everything.
Eating.
Food and that.
So, get all the way in. What? What are we thankful for? And this movie is subtly hinting at that. Like, what are we thankful for? And what are these characters thankful for? Because they go through hell in this movie.
It's almost, you said it halfway through, you're like, it's almost uncomfortable how much shit they go through.
It's almost exhausting, is what I said.
Exhausting.
Yeah. It's almost exhausting how much fucking stops they have, I'll tell you what. But, yes. And it's also a story of acceptance. accepting who you are.
And changing your ways.
Yes. So, as we said, Steve Martin's character, he is trying to make a trip to his family. He's got 2 days and plenty of time. He's got his plane booked, and that's where the shenanigans begin. He's on his way to the airport. He encounters
Kevin Bacon. A wild Kevin Bacon.
Young Kevin Bacon, looking dapper.
Looking Tremors AF.
Tremors AF. Yes, indeed. Steals the cab. He thinks he steals the cab. But it's actually... Oh, no, he did. He did yoink that cab from him.
He goes... He's chasing after that cab. Kevin Bacon and him are both racing to it, and he's about to make it, and he trips over a briefcase.
Or a trunk.
A trunk of sorts, and Kevin Bacon gets that cab, and then he pays another man for the cab. But meanwhile, while he's paying another man for a cab, the cab driver gets out and loads said trunk that he tripped over into the cab and drives away, and Steve Martin starts chasing him, and... scares the bejesus out of John Candy, who didn't knowingly take the cab, but he did.
And that's where this ride really starts. It's moments like that, one after the other. Bad luck all around. The air flight gets, what's the word when it gets sent somewhere?
Delayed.
No. Because
rerouted.
Rerouted. Thank you. Gets rerouted to Kansas. Then it gets delayed. Canceled. And then they have to get a hotel, and it's just all these little steps. But at every step, there's shenanigans.
Yeah, like they get the hotel, and you're like, oh, they're good. But then they get robbed in the hotel. Someone breaks into their room and steals all their money.
So it's like all throughout their journey home, they have hiccups along the way. But including those hiccups, they have to deal with each other.
And they are different people entirely.
Yes. John Candy is very... bubbly and talkative and kind of a klutz, and he's a slob. And Steve Martin is very, like, would rather keep to himself, and he's impatient and angry and just upset with how everything's playing out, because maybe he kind of get the sense
he just wanted to be home.
He's wanted to be home, and he's kind of used to the high class things. He's got a high class job, he's got a first class ticket that gets, you know, mixed up, and now he's in coach sitting next to John Candy, as we've mentioned. And so it's like, how are these two polar opposites gonna coincide?
Coexist, you mean? I guess coincide would work. But
either or.
Yeah, maybe both.
Potato, orange, same thing.
Ah! But yes, they are completely different people, and we see that early on, just because John Candy's just trying to talk and talk and talk and just wants to strike up a conversation with them, but... Steve Martin's not having it. Doesn't want to discuss anything. He's just tired of the inconvenience. Just wants to get the plane ride over with. Just wants to be done with everything. But John Candy just keeps talking. He has a great line later on. Like, this is a good example, because he's talking to him. And he's like, you know, I really don't want to talk. I just want to read this article and be done. And John Candy's like, oh, okay, I hate blabbermouths, and he just keeps talking. And the next scene shows everyone's asleep in the plane, including John Candy, but Steve Martin's still awake. And the plane, like, kind of shakes or something, and John Candy lifts his eye, one eye open, and says, "Bet $6 in my left nut we don't make it to Chicago," or something. And it's like, that's a good line. But it also shows that, like, even through sleep, he's still talking. he's still up and ready to bother Steve Martin.
And what's his name? John Candy. He's got a backup plan, sort of. Everywhere he goes, he's like, oh, you know, I bet this is going to happen. I'm going to get derailed or rerouted. Delayed.
Told you it was the first season.
He knows which motel to go to or which hotel to call. He knows, like...
He knows tons of people.
He knows tons of people through his work. He's a traveling salesman, sells shower curtains, best in the world.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a salesman. You get to see his personality shine, being a blabbermouth, being Mr. Talkative through that. Maybe that's why he's trying to do that with old Stevie Baby. He's a man of the world. Likes to meet people.
That airplane gets delayed and then rerouted, and he's stuck there, and then they find out that it gets canceled, and they do find the hotel room through John Candy's character, And like, yeah, it's fine. It's good. But they get like stuck with a crappy cab driver who's really loud and has like the almost like the hydraulics in his car.
Yeah.
Then they go to the hotel room. They get their credit card switched.
Yep.
And yeah, all
like,
sorts
oh, this is gonna
of
playback
just,
later.
Yeah, just so many events that
they have
are
to
current.
Share
just,
a bed.
Yeah,
together,
they have to share a bed, which leads to good comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I joked about it with you snoring because there's a scene where John Candy's like clearing his throat or some
sinuses.
Shit. Yeah, he's like, what the hell is he doing?
The best part of that is like he's like, I gotta clear my sinuses or else I can't sleep. And they're finally laying in silence, and he's just like. Steve Martin's like, all right, all right. And that's where it implodes. Everything building up to this point, having to deal with each other, having to, you know, have deal with his slobby ways and his snoring and his loudness and his talking. And all he wants to do is be home with his family, and he keeps getting delayed. He explodes, and he explodes at John Candy, and he starts to insult him, and he says, like, how boring he is with his conversations. He's, like, making fun of him and bullying him and putting him down. What does John Candy say?
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you, but I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My kids like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
All right.
I quoted the Family Guy version, just throwing it out.
Okay.
If you notice, instead of my customers like me, I said my kids like me. That's the Family Guy.
That's
the Family Guy. He says my customers. Family Guy. See, I had never seen this film for years. But as I found out, there were three Family Guy scenes that have come from this movie that I knew very well. Because I love Family Guy. I watch it all the time. But from that, I was able to find a relation to this film. I'm like, oh, because Peter quotes that whole thing
in
an episode.
You know it.
Yeah, that's how I knew it. And
said,
I used
you said
it
that from memory, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And every time that something like that happened, you'd be like, this is from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Family Guy did this.
So, yes, the journey continues, and so do the shenanigans. One crazy mishap after another. And it's one of those, like, buddy on the road traveling films.
But was this, like, one of the, not the first, but
no,
one
no,
of the
they've been doing this for a long time. It
yeah.
was just kind of ingenious in how they went about, it's really the performances. I mean, the writing's great, but it's the heart of John Candy and the charisma and the just the style of Steve Martin.
A lot of Steve Martin's acting is, like, through facial. Like facial motions and
yeah,
like
and
the way he's yeah,
stuff, yeah.
the
Absolutely.
Way he's like giving his body language mm-hmm. to the situation.
Yeah, that's
like he just looks vastly uncomfortable or pissed off all the time.
And there, like this movie does such a good job. Like there are moments where I'm just watching what these characters are going through, and I just feel itchy
yeah.
and uncomfortable. Like how messy and slobby John Candy is, but he's so sweet and like full of heart. You just like care about him, but you're also like get your shit together.
Yeah.
But I accept you.
Yeah,
and
it's also like to the point where like Steve Martin calls him on some shit, and he's just not—he's not changing. He likes who he is. He's comfortable with who he is. That's maybe
the deal.
Thing. He's too comfortable. He's very comfortable mm-hmm. with himself.
Yeah, maybe.
And Steve Martin is not.
Maybe it's a story of accepting yourself, but it's a story of accepting one another.
Hark the heck.
But yeah, John, no matter
why
where
I go to that song,
I don't know, no matter where John Candy goes, he's got his trunk full of shower curtains.
Yes,
he's got his garbage, his snacks, and he's got his photo of his wife. He carries around places everywhere he goes.
Just think about that. I'm like, I'm gonna start carrying my fiance's portrait around, just placing it like,
you,
everywhere.
Everywhere you go, you open it up, and it's just J-Law. Yeah. It's just Jennifer Lawrence.
There she is. Like, you know her? Yep.
Yeah, there she is. And then I open mine. It's like Becky Lynch, WWE
There's
wrestler.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan, Becky Lynch, Bryce Dallas Howard.
All the redheads right there, all three of them. Yeah. They're like, you know them? And you're like, yeah, I'm married to them all.
All three of them redheads. There.
Two Irish and...
Two Irish? Yeah.
Two Irish and one Ron Howard. What?
Oh, man. But, and then Steve Martin, he really just carries bare essentials, and he'll make a phone call to his wife every
like
now and then.
Once. He's missing for 2 days. His wife stayed awake for those 2 days, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's the story of the times. They only make pay phone calls.
Even said it, like, you're like, how are you going to hail a cab during rush hour traffic? I'm like, Uber that shit.
Yeah.
Get out your phone.
They can't find a place to stay. You're like, Airbnb that shit.
Yeah.
Like, no. They're going to get lost. They don't even have a map or anything. Google map that
shit.
Yeah. So, they're just kind of chugging along, and just one bad thing happens after another, and they finally call it, like, not quits, but they're like, let's go our separate ways.
Yeah.
And John Candy does not take that so well.
I think he just didn't want to be alone anymore.
He just kind of took it as, you know what, I'm smothering you, but you know what, you can't accept me, fuck you.
Peacock, you gotta let him fly on this one.
Yeah.
And but
that leads to one of the best scenes, though. The car dealership scene.
Yeah, Steve Martin goes to the airport and goes to get a car rental to drive the whole way home, which probably what he should have done in the first place. But he's going to drive the whole way home. He gets dropped off in the lot and finds that the car that they assigned him is not there. So he trudges the whole way back across the runway, which I was like, no.
Yeah, wouldn't happen now.
He's just crossing that runway on foot.
3 miles, he says.
But, he gets there. And, you know, I kind of thought about him, like, if he was that big of an issue, why'd he walk? Because, like, those, at least now when you go to the airport, like, those shuttles are going, like, constantly going.
Not with his luck.
Yeah. But he walks in and he says more F words than our father would approve of. but he does say a lot. And it is a great thing. And just to put it into perspective, he's just swearing, I won't say all
fucking
the efforts.
Car.
Yeah, I want an effing car and an effing this and a fucking this and a fucking this. And finally she's like, well, I'm sorry, do you have your rental agreement? He's like, I threw it away. And she's just like, oh, says, what? You're fucked?
Yeah.
That's like great. She's very bubbly and happy. And the second he starts swearing at her, she gets kind of reserved and pissed off.
What can you think of what else is that woman in? You've seen her in something that's very near and dear to your heart.
She in Master Disguise.
She is.
Holy shit, I picked that right out of the... There's your... Holy... Yeah, she is. Wow. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
And she's also in Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yes,
Day
she'll make a great cook.
Reminds me of Mama. But yes, and she's in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, too. But for us... Master Disguise.
Yes. Like near and dear to your heart.
Master
Disguise.
A movie that's near and dear to your heart. Master of Disguise. Is that
is that the one? Dana Carvey's best film?
Yes. Indeed. So and then what was that? There's another great... This is where the comedy really picks up for me. He goes to hail a cab. Gentleman, like, helping with the cabs, like, where are you going? He's like, Chicago. He's like, oh, you're not going to Chicago here. And he's like, or something. He's like, trying to make a joke. And he's like, Steve Martin's like, if I wanted to joke, I'd walk into the John with you and watch you take a leak. And he gets clocked right in the schnoz.
It's a good one, though. I'm like, I need to use that online when I'm playing games or something.
And then he almost gets hit with a car. And once you know, it's John Candy in the car.
There he
makes
is.
Me wonder that. Steve Martin's missing car. What's that? Maybe John Candy was rolling in that?
Probably.
Probably.
It makes sense.
Yeah. They never say that, but, you know, who knows? There's a lot of deleted scenes. Did you know, movie factoid, there's a cut of this movie over 3 hours long.
I did know that. You want to know how?
How'd you know that?
Because you told me.
Oh.
Like,
Bryson.
Like an hour ago.
Oh, okay. another movie factoid, since you knew that one already. So.
Knew it. Sorry.
You got all these big Oscar movies, right, that are, like, based on a true story, inspired by true events. This movie was based on a true story. John Hughes. He had a very similar situation happen to him, where he was flying from L.A. to Chicago to visit his family. And
is that why all his movies take place in Chicago?
Yeah,
or, like, I've only seen Home Alone and now this, but both were in Chicago, yeah.
And one thing after another, bad things happen. Some of the shenanigans that happen in this film go on, and he ends up getting home 5 days late, and he was 2 days away in the first place. So that's how he got delayed, like, a week. And he was so inspired by his events and the people he met, and he started writing. He wrote a monster of a script. Huge.
Huge? John Huge? John Hughes?
And I guess the amount of script that was written would have made this a monster film. And the amount of film they used while filming this movie was longer than the average by like double. So that's like how much film they used.
It's like, we can't put this movie on. Why? Because it's the length of Ben-Hur.
Yeah, pretty much.
We need an intermission.
Steve Martin, while reading the script, was like, how much of this are you going to cut out? And John Hughes looked at him perplexed, like, what do you mean? I'm not cutting any of this out. He's like, Jesus, this is fucking long. Steve Martin agreed to do this movie for two scenes in particular. Those are the ones that sold him. One was the airport, or the car rental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He thought that was great. And the whole bit with the car seat raising up and down and John Candy going to break it and all that stuff. Because that's what happens next. They're rolling down the highway. And once you know it, some more shenanigans are due to happen. Some other mishaps.
And how?
Let me tell you, car seat breaks, and then John Candy's driving, and he's doing, what is that?
It was Chuck Berry.
That Chuck Berry?
I think it was Chuck Berry.
It was Ray Charles.
Ray Charles.
Yeah, Ray Charles.
He's like in Back to the Future.
Charles Berry. And jamming, playing some music, not really paying attention.
Not at all. Makes you nervous.
Yeah, flicks a cigarette out the window.
But lands in the back seat of the car.
Right out the window.
It didn't even go out the window. Came back in. It was too, had that vertigo.
Yeah, it got vertigo, came back in, took a seat in the back. Yeah.
And pulled up some cushion by the cushion.
And like, pull up some cushion out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He starts to get a little hot. He's like, oh, why is it getting so warm in here?
Well, maybe laugh if he goes take off his jacket while driving. You're like, that's dangerous for a skinny man to do.
Yeah, it never works out.
No, you gotta pull that shit over.
Yeah, he doesn't. Then he gets his little sleeve hooks hooked on some shit, and he can't get his coat off, and he can't grab the wheel, and he's swerving, and he's about to wreck, and he gets off the wrong exit, and they wake up, they come to, they get back on the road. Wouldn't you know it, they're going down the wrong fucking way, down the highway.
It happened. Yeah, they start to go down, they go get back on the exit they got off at. So, yeah, they're heading the wrong way. And you're like, it made you so uncomfortable.
Shit, here we go. Yeah. It was like that. I was like, oh boy, here we go again. Some more. That's when I was like, the amount of stuff that's happening is exhausting. Like one thing after another, wouldn't you know it. And probably the biggest laugh for me happens. Two semis coming down the road, and they kind of get wedged. They slide right in between these
good old wedgie Antilles, right between them.
Yeah. And they're screaming, and the sparks are flying, and they turn to fucking skeletons.
Yeah.
Oh, I died. And then Steve Martin looks over, and John Candy's the devil, like, ah!
Like, it makes no sense, but it's
like,
so good.
He just sees it as like, you are trying to kill me.
But it's just so funny because it's like not what you expect from this film. Like they're just breaking through, all of a sudden they're skeletons, and you're like, oh, it's pretty funny. And then he like looks over him in horror, and he's just in a devil suit, like a little devil costume.
It reminded me of the scene in another John Hughes production, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, when Marv grabs the old sink things and he gets electrocuted. And he turns into a skeleton, and he's screaming, oh, boy, howdy. But anywho, they have a laugh about it. They almost died again. And
then that cigarette light in the back of the car.
The car gets set on fire, and what else is new? They hop in anyway after it. I guess the smoke or the fire goes out, and they start heading down the road again. Yep. On the road again.
Yep, and they find their way to a hotel. And Steve Martin pays for the room with what, $47 and
$17
$17 and a nice watch,
And how about $2 and a Casio?
Yeah, and that's what John Candy offers the man and old Gennaro from the lawyer from Jurassic Park. And the lawyer from Jurassic Park says, no. So John Candy is sleeping in the open air car because they burned the roof off of it and everything. So he's sleeping out in the elements. Steve Martin has a 2-bedroom and he's sleeping by himself. But you can tell he's starting to feel bad. And John Candy has a little bit of a lamenting moment where he says, you know, he's talking to his wife.
Yeah. I like that because every opportunity Steve Martin gets, he calls home. He even goes to call home in this hotel, but there's like a fucking key lock on the on the thing. John Candy, he's a man of the world. He travels. He doesn't have money, you know. And he's stuck outside, and he can't call his wife, so he just talks to her.
Mm-hmm. And he's kind of telling her like he finally found someone that he enjoys their company. He likes being around them, but he's gone and screwed that up because he's too much of a blabbermouth. Can't let things go. Can't change his ways.
He smothers him.
And he said, I am the most insufferable human being ever, or something like that. And Steve Martin, feeling bad, tells him, you're going to freeze out there. Come inside. And so the next scene is really the first time you actually see them truthfully bonding. Like, after the car fire, Steve Martin and him have a laugh. But you can tell, like, Steve Martin's actually kind of having, like, a breakdown. But this is the first time, like, they're both drunk, and they're talking. What Steve Martin has, like, beef eater gin and Doritos. You're like, is this a good combination? Probably not. So they're just having, they're having a good moment together where they're actually bonding and laughing, even though they're drunk. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's, like, the first time they're smiling. It's and then the even spirits. The next scene.
Here's the wives.
Yeah, they salute or they salute
the
wives.
I liked what they said. Steve Martin says, John Candy. He's like, you really love your wife, don't you? He just looks at him like with this like almost insulted look, and he's just like, love isn't a big enough word for how I feel for my wife. Good stuff. Yeah. Here's to the wives.
Yeah, and then the next scene they get pulled over by a cop because they're driving in literally half a car. Reminiscent to Tommy Boy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dumb and Dumber.
I think it's Tommy Boy is the one where they... Yeah, Tommy Boy, when the deer destroys... Yeah.
It's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Yeah, so the cops impound the car. John Candy gets the semi-truck to drive him. But wouldn't you know it, Steve Martin has another bad luck. He has to stay in the back of the semi-truck. It's a milk truck, so it's all cold and refrigerated in the back.
Like, as long as there's heat, I'm fine. He's like, well, that's a thing.
Yeah. So they finally make it back to Chicago, though, and they say their goodbyes. And
they have a nice hug.
Yeah, they have a nice hug, and he says, you know, say hello to your wife for me. I feel like I already know her. And, and John Candy says, I will. And then Steve Martin gets on the train or tram.
Yeah, it was a tram.
And John Candy just kind of stands there, and it's almost like he's thinking, like, "What am I gonna do here?
Yep.
Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here?" And Steve Martin, this is my—I think throughout the entire movie, this was my favorite scene in the whole movie. Is Steve Martin is on the train, and he's kind of thinking about what he's gonna come home to, and he thinks of his daughter, and then both of his sons. And he sees a pie being taken out of the oven. And he sees his wife sitting across from him at the table, and they smile at each other. And then he goes back to him and John Candy sleeping together in the same bed, and he laughs to himself. And it's the first time you've seen him laugh at an event and actually mean it that they just went through. And then you see them laughing at the fire that's burning the car, and he's laughing at that event happening. And then he thinks back to him like freaking out at John Candy in the motel room for the first time, and then he thinks back to John Candy saying that his love isn't a big enough word to describe how he feels about his wife.
He likes me.
He likes himself and his wife likes him. And he's kind of with those two parts, the wife parts, he's kind of starting to become aware of something, that something's amiss. You know, like Gus said,
I haven't been home in years.
Yeah, he says he hasn't been home in years. He talks about his wife, but he never calls her. He carries a picture around of her. But, you know, he talks about her all the time. But other than that, there's not a lot about her that Steve Martin knows other than these stories. So he rushes back to where he left John Candy's character and finds him in the lobby and asks him, what is he doing there still? And he says, I haven't had a home for years. What's his wife's name? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
He basically tells Steve Martin that his wife has been dead for 8 years. And he doesn't have a family. He doesn't have a home. He's just a traveling salesman, just moves around the country, and that's it. And see, now, here's my issue with that part. It's a great moment. I feel like it needed to be longer.
You even said it was, like, your favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah, but I just feel like, all right, so then obviously Steve Martin, next scene, it just cuts. It cuts from that, really. Steve Martin looks at him, kind of glances down, closes his eyes, and then the next scene's them walking with all of John Candy's suitcases and trunk, and they go into his household for Thanksgiving, and he's introducing John Candy to all his family. Him and his wife have a moment, and then John Candy, it ends with John Candy kind of looking at everyone and smiling. Like, he finally has somewhere to spend and something to be thankful for.
Yeah, and he's finally got somewhere to be.
Yeah, but I felt that the scene between Steve Martin and John Candy needed to be longer when he was, like, explaining what happened. Like, I needed more there. Like, I understand, sure, you don't want to dwell on it and bring the whole movie down,
right?
But I do want to, like, I would like to have known more of, like, the events. Like, you could have pulled at the heartstrings a little more. You could have told me how she died, or what happened, or, you know, where he used to live, his old life, if he had a job and after that job it fell apart, or after his wife died his life fell apart and he hasn't had anywhere to be. You could have built on that, so the fact that now he does have somewhere to be means something. And maybe it's in a different cut. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe in the 3-hour version.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. I thought it was just right. You get enough of the information that you need so you can feel and then move to the finale. I cried. I cried during everything though.
Yeah. True.
Movie factoid. Steve Martin sitting in the train when he's, like, reminiscing and, like, sitting there, like, rolling his neck and just kind of looking and smiling. Not even takes for that scene. They were takes of, there's rolling and Steve Martin's just sitting there. And it was, like, before they sit action.
Mm.
So he's, like, sitting there, like, rolling his neck, just kind of, like, looking, maybe thinking and laughing. And maybe someone said something, he laughs. And that's what made it into the movie.
Yeah.
Because John Hughes felt there was something so natural and genuine about it, because, hey, it was natural and genuine.
Yeah. And that's what I said, is that's my favorite scene, is because it's, like, the first time that he shows this emotion. He's almost emotionless throughout the whole movie.
Other than anger.
Yeah, he's angry and, like, upset. Pissed off, disappointed, upset, cynical. And then this is the first time that he's, like, showing true happiness. Like, he is happy to be home. He's happy to know he's almost to the finish line and probably nothing's going to get in his way, but he's also happy for the events that just took place.
Yeah.
And John Candy tells him the entire movie, you just got to go with the flow. You know, life's going to pitch as many curveballs at you as possible. You just got to, you know, knock them out of the park every time or just roll with them.
Yeah. And he even says right before he hops on the train, he's like, I feel like I'm all the more wiser
you know,
for the trip we just had
kind
of thing.
Yeah, he learned something. He learned something about himself. He also learned, you know, how to treat people and how maybe just accept the kindness, be thankful for things. Because that's the thing. Throughout the whole film, you know, John Candy does a lot for him. Really, the only thing that Steve Martin does throughout the film is pay for things. When you're really, like, John Candy pulls all the strings, gets him the rooms, gets him the rides, gets him to the train station, gets him the tickets, but Steve Martin's paying. John Candy's doing all these things, and Steve Martin's never thankful for them. Maybe until the end, he finally realizes that he says the most important thing. He says, "You got me home." You know, throughout the entire film, all he wants to do is get home. John Candy's the one that gets him home. He makes sure of it.
So I'm not saying this is what they do, but maybe other than their friends, but like as a visual art, he's like, the best way I can say thank you is giving you the one thing that you need, and that's a family.
Yeah.
Come home with me.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving. Because I'm thankful for you, and let's be thankful together.
Yeah, for sure. And it definitely is, I would say, yeah, it's definitely a great Thanksgiving film. I could see myself watching this again every Thanksgiving.
Whoa. High praise.
Man. Well, I mean, it's not, how many Thanksgiving films are there?
There's Harry Potter.
This is a movie, though, that, like, all right, so, like, my fiance does not like many movies. She loves Christmas movies. She loves holiday movies. I think this is a movie that she would enjoy.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like it's reminiscent enough to, like, the Christmas Vacation vibe where, like, shit goes wrong, and she kind of likes that style of comedy, so I think she wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just little things, like, when they go through those semi-trucks, and it shows them, and they look at each other, and their fingers are dug into the dashboard, and they have to rip their fingers out of the dashboard.
The steering wheel's bent in, yeah.
That's great stuff. So it's just a very funny film. It's got a lot of heart, I guess, would be the best.
Yeah, it's John Hughes for you. And, you know, I'm sure we will come across another John Hughes film or two or eight along our journey on our podcast here. All of them will be extremely difficult to recast and factory, you know, for our purposes, because they're so beloved, you know, they're classics, and in certain ways they're perfect. So for us to do the factory for this movie, for me anyway, I know you're fresh eyes on this, but for me it's tough. It's like, why would you remake this movie?
Yeah, and off of that, though, like, the only thing I don't think that really clicked with me in this whole film was the music. It was very different. It was like we could cast Daft Punk to do this movie.
Yeah, it was
like techno-y.
He even said it was like, this sounds like Phil Collins, like Genesis or something.
Yeah, it was a little goofy. I would have almost rather if we'll get into it in the factory. I have an idea for the composer.
All right, good, because I can't guess a soul.
Right. You want to take it to the factory then? I would definitely say before we get to the factory, watch this film. Watch this film for Thanksgiving. Watch this film after Thanksgiving. Watch it during the holidays. It could be a Christmas film.
Watch it on Tuesday night.
Watch it on Tuesday night, April, middle April. It doesn't matter.
Get yourself some gin. Get yourself some Doritos.
Yeah.
Snuggle in.
Watch this film. Watch the late, great John Candy and the great Steve Martin work. But let's take this movie to the factory. How about that sound? All right, so in this portion of the show, we take the film we just watched, in this case, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We change the director, we change the composer, and we change the actors and actresses of that film to modern booking. So for this film, though, we really only have two characters to replace, the director and the composer, or the music for this film. Is that good enough for you? You want to cast anyone else? I think that's really all we got for this, yeah. So let's go ahead and get started with it. Who are you thinking for the director of this film?
So the director of this film, I picked someone who's already worked on some John Hughes action before. He's had his stab in some cozy films, Home Alone, and the first two Harry Potter films, cozy. And that would be Chris Columbus.
Has he done anything as of late?
Oh, yeah. I don't have my handy-dandy handheld here, but I know he did not so great, but the Percy Jackson movies.
Wow.
Yeah. Hold on now. But, I mean, he's a very capable writer, obviously. He also wrote... I believe he wrote Gremlins, and he wrote, what was it? The Goonies.
Mm.
So, if you can beat that, I'd be all the more impressed. But before you mention yours, I got it here. Oh, fuck, I clicked on a Harry Potter. Hold on now, Bill. Here we are. Let's see, all filmography. Let's see, director. What's he directed lately? I know he's done something. Percy Jackson. Pixels. Am I winning you over here? I love you, Beth Cooper.
That's good.
Rent. How about Rent?
Okay.
How about Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams?
Isn't that movie terrible?
I don't know. He directed Mrs. Doubtfire. Hey, can't beat that. Adventures in Babysitting. I mean, he has
a repertoire.
Repertoire. Chris Columbus.
For my pick, went a little different route. I went with a director that does a lot of comedy now, and he especially is known for doing comedy in the realm of, like, multiple personalities in terms of, like, like two or three or even like a group of actors or actresses, and that's Paul Feige. No relation to Kevin Feige.
I don't think so.
Now they're spelled differently.
You're talking Bridesmaids guy. Yeah,
Bridesmaids, The Heat,
Ghostbusters,
which is all female comedy films, or like mostly female cast. However, I think that he has tried his hand in these like group comedy films, these buddy comedy films, that he would be able to pull this off. And have good comedy in it. He also writes a lot of those films, or helps write a lot of those films, and he would be able to bring it to a modern day view, if you will. I think he would work for sure. What are your take on that?
I mean, for me personally, I'm not too big of a fan of his work. I mean, not saying he's not good, he's just not for me.
Have you seen The Heat? Heat's the only one that I like really like.
I like Bridesmaids, that's the only one I really like.
Mm. You haven't seen The Heat, though. Sandra Bullock.
I was like, I don't care. I've heard good things, I guess. I've heard good things about other stuff. Not for me. No, it's not my. Some people like certain kinds of foods. I don't like. Some people like fruit. I don't like fruit.
Some people like to eat soup with a fork. I don't know.
Some motherfuckers always trying to eat Paul Feige's movies.
I'm gonna ruin your day because I'm gonna win it in this coin toss.
Yeah, we're gonna flip for it. Oh. Cozy Chris Columbus, who's worked on John Hughes films
but also
before,
worked on some shit.
And Paul Feige, who is currently making shit.
Paul Feige heads, Chris Columbus tails.
All right.
You're going to be very disappointed. How disappointed, scale 1 to 10, if Paul Feige
wins? I mean, it'll just be a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles mishap.
Yeah. Hey, yo. Tails, Chris Columbus.
Hey,
there's
your one.
All righty. So Chris Columbus is directing our film. Music. So you said you didn't have an idea for the music.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to do a composer. No composer.
No music. Just
no music. Just silence. Make it more awkward. No, I'm thinking just soundtrack. Just put a soundtrack on with this film. Do it like Forrest Gump. Do it like with Forrest Gump had music, obviously. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, think about the soundtrack. Think about like Quentin Tarantino's movies, the soundtracks that he has with some of those. Like Pulp Fiction was like one of the first movies to be equipped with like an actual music soundtrack, like just pulling like greatest hits from things. Awesome Mix Volume 1, Awesome Mix Volume 2. Like do something like that where you have real hits playing on the radio and you can play off of that, or like real hits just playing in the background. Sound in the background.
Let's
do
that.
Saying,
and then if there needs to be like a musical swell. Or if there needs to be like a theme or something, John Williams. He's worked with Chris Columbus, and
Let's make it that anytime there needs to be music, it has to be like one of John Williams' existing themes. So like they're waiting for the train, and it's like Superman starts playing.
All right.
Okay.
Sold.
We good with that? All right, well then let's do John Candy or Steve Martin first.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
This is tough.
Let's do it this way. Let's pitch ours together. Let's pitch them together as a group. So like you pitch both of yours, I'll pitch both of mine. Because mine have to play off each other.
Okay, I got you.
And yours probably have to play off each other.
Not necessarily, but...
Okay, mine do, or they won't work.
I'll say mine. Really tough. Why?
John Reno and Steve Martin?
Yeah.
But Steve Martin is John Candy's character.
I was thinking of Steve Martin plays a straight man, and he's in this comedy, and he's a comedy actor. So I was trying to think, like, who's a straight man that is in comedy? And the only name that kept coming to my brain was Ben Stiller.
He can play pretty serious, especially now.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking Ben Stiller.
Tug your nuts.
What the fuck's that?
They call him. That's what Matthew McConaughey calls him in Tropic Thunder. He calls him Tugger Nuts.
He's in Tropic Thunder. He's in Meet the Parents. He's in Heavyweights.
Yeah.
He's in
Best Rule Dodgeball.
Yeah, he's in Dodgeball too. So I was thinking of him more in like Meet the Parents, and even later in his career, like nowadays, like I think he'd be a decent fit for that role. Not saying he could maybe even touch what Steve Martin did, but. I like what he could maybe bring as that character, and then to play John Candy's role, so tough. So much charm and heart that only John Candy's lovable performance could do. But I was trying to think of today, like, who am I charmed by?
Who am I?
And I was trying to think of also someone who had, like, the build of John Candy. And this actor also has worked with Ben Stiller in the past, and that would, we've used him before.
Reese Witherspoon.
Old Jack Black.
Not Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, you think
Something About Mary.
Oh,
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
Jack Black, dude.
Yes, thing.
I'm gonna eat this water buffalo. It's also Tropic Thunder.
Do the Planes, Trains, Automobiles speech, but it's Jack Black.
You wanna hurt me? Go right ahead if I make you feel any better, dude.
I'm an easy target.
I'll eat you alive.
Yeah. I was just like, who could I find lovable? Who could I find being a slob but also charm you? And drive Ben Stiller crazy along the way. Be Jack Black guy.
So I have two, actually. My one...
You have two, actually.
Well, no, I'm saying like two pairings. Okay. One I kind of threw out the window because my director got taken. I was actually going to switch it up and do Paul Feige, but then do, as my John Candy, do Melissa McCarthy.
Oh,
and do
God.
Sandra Bullock. I'll Ghostbusters it.
Ghostbusters.
I'll Ghostbusters it.
I was jumped over this podcast table and choked you with the cables.
But instead, I will forfeit that pick. I was going to be a little original, but I'll forfeit it. And I'll go with my secondary pick that I had in my back pocket, which I also think is a good one. Like you said, you need an actor who can be very serious but has done comedic roles in the past, can play off this, like, dead inside, angry individual. Mm-hmm. So, for me, that was Mr. Vincent Vaughn.
Who's Vince Vaughn playing?
Vince Vaughn would be Steve Martin's character. Yeah, he's playing John Candy. Steve Martin's character, played by Vince Vaughn. I mean, he's a very very stoic, very angry man most of the time. So it seems like we got some sirens going on in the background.
Coppas.
They're like... He almost put Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock in the movie. Go!
Get him!
But yeah, Vince Vaughn playing Steve Martin's character. And then for my John Candy, same as you, I'm going with a character that... Or
Jack
a person,
Black.
Yeah, a person that has been in a movie with this comedian before, so they have that chemistry going. And that's Will Ferrell. Put Will Ferrell in there for John Candy. So you have... They were in Old School together. So have Vince Vaughn... I think it was Old School. Yeah, Old School. Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell playing these roles together. I think they're to the age where it would work. I think they would be able to play off each other well because, I mean, Will Ferrell's played these bubbly, kind of dumb, bad luck characters in the past. Look no further than how he acts in The Other Guys. He's like a straight arrow of a cop. Never did anything wrong, but he's also, like, really smart but really goofy and has kind of piss-poor luck. And he's placed with a very serious Mark Wahlberg.
Very serious Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, but now he's placed with a very serious Vince Vaughn.
And your pick would allow us to have another opportunity to have Will Ferrell have a Ron Burgundy mustache.
Yes, it would. Yeah. Not the hair so much, but he'd be wearing a nice hat most of the film.
That mustache, though.
We could go Ben Stiller and Will Ferrell.
Well, that's also an Anchorman poll.
That is. We could go Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd. We could go Steve Carell. You could do...
I thought of Steve Carell at one point for Steve Martin.
Honestly, though, like, I've seen Due Date, and I don't know if you had, but I would honestly, if I didn't joke about it today, like, Robert Downey Jr. and... Zach Galifianakis, like, that would work too in this role as well.
I would also how about Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger
and Bruce Willis. You have to just have a third man.
Bruce Willis would play he would
the wife.
No, he would play the son
of Sylvester Stallone.
No, he'd play the son of the motel keeper who they were giving him a ride.
Chewing.
He's had big old chewing. He kept going like.
A baby came out sideways.
She didn't scream
a bit.
Or nothing.
So what are you thinking? Do you want to flip for it?
We have to flip for it, yeah.
Let's go ahead. Heads, we'll do Ben Stiller and Jack Black. We'll go tails, Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell. Heads, this is your film, other than the music track.
Well, we got John Williams.
Yeah, we did get John Williams. All right, so we have directing our planes, trains, automobiles, and that. We have Chris Columbus directing. We have the sound, the music being just a soundtrack of music, be it in classic rock songs or anything of that nature. How about even this? Instead of doing John Williams, what if we just did like symphony music?
I mean, John Williams.
I'm saying like classical, like Mozart stuff.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyways, yeah, soundtrack of the film, like soundtrack of hits. Steve Martin's character will be played by Ben Stiller, and John Candy's character would be played by Jack Black.
Dude.
That's a pretty good film, I think.
We give it a whirl for the kids.
Give it a whirl for the kids.
Another movie factoid, the house that Steve Martin was trying to get home to his family, that house looks just like the house in Home Alone.
Because it is?
Movies. No. Same neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yep. Just right up the street. I've been there.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that is the factory. Is it your week for a game or mine? I think it's mine.
Yeah, it's your week there.
I do have a question for you. I do have the final. At the end of the show, we like to do a game or ask a question. So my question for you this week is, what was, if you can remember.
I remember everything.
And this can go beyond. What's one of your favorite, like, holiday moments where you didn't think the holiday was going to go well, and it ended up going well? Like, because that's kind of what this is. Like, you didn't, like, okay. The entire movie, you're like, oh, this isn't going to go well for him, and then it ends up being okay in the end. It ends up working out.
Right.
Like, what's, like, the one where you're like, oh, this is going to suck this year, and it ended up being really good? Be it Christmas, be it Thanksgiving, be it a birthday, be it something like that.
You setting me up here? You should already know my answer here, guy.
But probably
do. It's a good story. I can't remember the year, but it was going to be the first year I ever spent Christmas Eve alone.
Mm.
So
we usually do a family Christmas on Christmas.
This is our first year we didn't, and it's also going to be the first year in my lifetime that I didn't spend Christmas Eve with. Well, no, I guess not my lifetime.
Your lifetime, you came out of the womb with a girlfriend, yeah?
No, not with a girl, but with my brother. That I can remember. So, I was at home. Mother was away. You were with your best gal, and I was with a bottle of Kessler whiskey. you know, just having
eggnog.
Yeah, just having it by myself, and feeling all sad and lonesome. And all of a sudden, you showed up, and you're like, "Can't have you spending Christmas alone?"
Yeah, that's what I said exactly, because I had seen a movie with Jimmy Stewart at that point, because I hadn't.
You're like, well, I can't have you spend Christmas alone. So we got drunk on eggnog, spiked eggnog. We had a horse simulator that we sat on that, rode you around.
Yeah, it was weird. It was called the Eye Gallop.
And we played Duck Hunt shit-faced.
Fuck that game.
Yeah. That was good.
That was setting you up because I figured that's what it was. But I was like, that's an easy question.
That was a magical time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. And it's like one that I want to emulate sometime, but you can't really emulate it. Like, you can't emulate sitting on a fucking Eye Gallop playing Duck Hunt, being drunk on eggnog.
Very unique and can never be remimicked.
Emulated.
Yes. Yeah. Quick question for you, just for my knowledge. I appreciate your holiday question, but I'm going to ask you with a John Hughes question. We mentioned all those other John Hughes movies. Is there one that you haven't seen that you would like to, that's like been itching at you? Like, I want to check that one out.
I've always wanted to see 16 Candles. Like I said, Family Guy makes a bunch of jokes on it, so I feel like I've seen like a lot of clips, but no context to them whatsoever. I don't even know what it's about. I just know a lot of people love that film. Like, Pretty in Pink, that's kind of like your original, like, She's the Man, isn't it? So I kind of, like, 16 Candles, like, I'm not even sure what it's about, but I know it's just so iconic that I kind of think I need to see it, almost. So that's definitely a film that I would look to see. I've Ferris Bueller would be right behind it, because I've seen it, but it's been so long that I really haven't. It kind of makes me laugh, though, not knowing that Ferris Bueller's Day Off and this are the same, because, like, Ben Stein is in this film, like, in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
A lot of John Hughes, like, side characters are in Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Yeah, there's a bunch you could pick out. I think one that you definitely need to see that you haven't is Breakfast Club.
Mm.
And I think that's one we'll probably do for the pod someday. That'd be a good one. Yeah, Breakfast Club is right up your alley there, guy.
Right up and the alley way.
I bought that. I was living in my own apartment, and I bought it with the intent of you coming over and watching it. You came over, and we watched not that.
Probably like Planet of the Apes.
I think there's so much Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely sometime. That's a movie we should watch, too. Planet of the Apes, the original. Whoa. Because they did all the new trilogy. We should do that sometime.
We should watch every movie ever.
Yes. 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 All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Before we get going here, we do want to thank you all for listening. We do really appreciate it. If you liked what you heard, you can find us over on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That is at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're kind of going to post all our updates. We're going to keep involved with you. If you have any questions, you want to retweet our stuff, get our links to our site, you can. Not our site, but our audio. Speaking of Audio Boom, how about you listen to us over there on Audio Boom? That is the site that kind of publishes and sponsors our podcast here. They also are the ones that put it out to Spotify, put it out to iTunes Radio, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, iTunes, and other podcasting sites. So be sure to check us out wherever you listen to podcasts. That being said, I think that's a wrap. Gus is in, like, Gus just took off his sweater, so he's shirtless. And he is currently wearing socks and, like, Batman, like, old school, probably basketball shorts. Like, they're up, they're like, shorts. Yeah, they're like, they're a good roller above your knee.
They are not even halfway up my thigh. They're like,
they're up there.
You can see my balls.
Yeah.
Take a gander. What are you thankful for?
Yeah. Hey. Hey. People at home can see those.
Whoa.
All right.
Yep, that's our Thanksgiving special here. Old Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and that. And
we're thankful for you.
Hey, yes, we are. So thank you. And got to ask yourself one question. What are you thankful for at home? And happy Thanksgiving. Go eat some of that turkey and go spend time with your fam.
Brothers?
Speaking of fam.
Brothers?
Brothers.
Brothers.